Oh, I could get a lot of mileage out of that. Especially because I grew up in a denomination that taught that God lived in the church, which is why you had to dress different and you had to act different. And if anybody was to get saved, you had to drag them to church so the pastor could save them. And it was just really wrong theology. And it was significant when I met the real Jesus and I came to realize that he met me in a very non-religious setting. And most of the people that I knew at Calvary Chapel in the very early days, God had met them in very non-religious settings, which added to the authenticity of his reality to them. It wasn't some hyped up, emotional, orchestrated, manipulative sort of a thing in a religious setting. And the very first person I ever led to the Lord was in a 64 Ford Falcon in the parking lot at the university when one of the cheerleaders wanted to know why I was so happy in the lunch line. And it was because I had just come from my Galatians class where my teacher had said, "Do you realize that you don't have to add anything to what Jesus did? You don't have to witness to people. You don't have to become a missionary. You don't have to give your money. What Jesus did was it. That's all you have to do. You're not more of a Christian when you witness than you are if you don't." Well, that was good news for me because I'm so shy one-on-one. So I practically danced to the cafeteria, and I'm standing there, and I'm just feeling so jazzed. I don't have to witness to people. And the cheerleader said, "Wow, you look happy." I said, "You're never going to believe what I just heard. I just heard that what Jesus did on the cross for me is enough. His death was enough, and I don't have to witness to people." And she says, "Well, what's witnessing?" And I thought, "What I'm doing right now, isn't it?" And she started crying, and mascara's running all over her face. And she said, "I don't feel comfortable talking here. Would you mind going and sitting in my car?" Well, of course, cheerleader asked you to go sit in her car. Of course, you're going to do that. And I'll never forget this. I went, and she wanted to know about this. And I said, "Look, I've only known this for about 10 minutes." But I told her my personal experience with Jesus. And she just started crying, and she said, I need that. Whatever that is, I need that." She said, "I don't trust all these people around here." And I said, "Well, neither do I." She felt safe in her car. She felt safe with somebody that wasn't going to try to make her religious, somebody that just wanted to tell her about Jesus. And she opened her heart, gave her life to Jesus. A couple of years later, married a very famous Christian singer, raised a godly Christian family that has raised another godly Christian family. So it must have taken. Had to be real. Didn't happen in church. No altar call. No "just as I am," all five verses. 64 Ford Falcon with a guy who had 10 minutes worth of knowledge to share. But see, there's a real Jesus who doesn't mind sitting in a 64 Ford Falcon to be introduced to somebody. Doesn't mind using a person with insufficient knowledge. There's another free sermon. So he says, "Go to Galilee. You'll feel safe there." Let's look at the road to Emmaus. I've got plenty of time. Don't you find yourself, as I was reading through that and these guys are being described, don't you find yourself saying, "Why these guys?" Doesn't God think differently than we do? It was because of what losers they were and whiners. It was because of that he went to them. That would be reason for us to stay away from them, not Jesus. Jesus says, "Look, these guys heard the same information. Yeah, they didn't hear anything I had to say about, they haven't paid any attention to the scriptures that talked about the chronology of Messiah's suffering first. Their theology didn't include suffering. It was all about God's favor and all about blessing, just like many people's theology is today. They don't get it. They're never going to get it unless I talk to them personally." but I just love the way he did it. He didn't just materialize on the road in front of them in his full Messiah outfit. In fact, they didn't recognize him at all. And they were disciples. It makes it really clear. So they've been around him a lot. See, I've seen too many Star Trek episodes that I can't picture any of these encounters without Scotty being in the control room and the little twinkly things and Jesus, you know, being beamed down. I'm sorry. It's just blame television. So here are these guys on the same day, verse 13 of Luke 24, talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus came up, but they were kept from recognizing him. Hey, what you talking about? What are you, a tourist? You don't know what's been going on? What kind of stuff has been happening? Big stuff, man. It's been happening. And he goes, oh, what kind of stuff? Do you see a smile on that resurrected face? I sure don't see a scowl. If he was mad, why would he have stopped and talked to them? Why go to the effort? Why give a Bible study if he was mad? These are important questions. I wrestle with them. To be honest, and it's humbling to say it, but I thought, why should I put the study time in if people aren't even going to show up? And sometimes people are depressed and they stay home because they're depressed. That doesn't make any sense. That's like saying, I'm too sick to go to the doctor. And you know what? Whenever I'm feeling that way, you know what Jesus does? He just brings me back to these kinds of things where he says, look, maybe the problem isn't the problem you think is the problem. Maybe they just need to hear it another time. Maybe they need to hear it two more times. Maybe, you know that story we told about how God knowing the end from the beginning, God knows you're going to have to hear it 47 times. So on the 35th time that you hear it and don't get it, you're thinking, 35 times, what a loser. And God's thinking, wow, only 12 more times. 12 more times, they're going to get it. So keep going, Bob, keep going. Oh, but it's been years. Yeah, but today could be the day. And I love that about him. How many times had they heard from him? How many times had they heard from eyewitnesses? They still didn't believe. They're bummed out. And I just love that he went to them. I do find verse 21 poignant. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Has your heart ever been broken because things didn't work out the way you thought they were going to? I was thinking 2 weeks ago, my brother's grandson was killed riding his bicycle, 7 years old. Witty, fun kid, totally unique human being. And he's gone. In 1 second, he doesn't exist anymore. And the problem when children die is that we've already got their whole life to look forward to in our minds. And so it's always a tragedy and it makes people angry. Except, folks, we're not guaranteed that we have tomorrow. Where did we ever have the idea that we were guaranteed we were going to have a long life? I don't know how long the story is for my life. Which is why I need to pay attention and live it wisely. You don't know how long your children are going to be with you. Now, we know where my brother's grandson is now. He's in heaven. I'm sure he's not asking for his money back. But it's grievous to the rest of us. Please, please, please hear me. I'm not mad at anybody. Do not waste your children's lives by being selfish and distracted and hypnotized by the world. You don't know how long you have them. Take it seriously. well, I'm not very good at it. You're just making me feel more guilty. Well, you're not supposed to do it alone. He'll help you. Another free sermon. We had hoped. Oh, we had great plans. Oh, we thought this was going to be it. The ultimate political solution. Messiah is going to come in. We know how powerful he is. Kick out the Romans. Life is going to be groovy. We'll all be resting in God's favor forever. Blah, 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 blah. It just didn't happen that way. Was God's plan inferior to the political solution? Had God's favor been poured out? Yes, it had, to both counts. But they had a different expectation, and so they were disappointed at the wrong time. And that's why Jesus says, don't you guys remember, you've heard the scriptures from the times you were little shavers before your bar mitzvah. You've heard the story. When Messiah comes, he's going to suffer first. First the suffering, then the glory. We've been studying Job on Wednesday nights, and we're realizing that, you know what, people have been thinking backwards of that for a long time. There are people who still say, if you're a godly person, there's only glory and favor, no suffering. It's just not the message of the Bible. It's message of parts of the Bible, but you have to cut out the other parts. And that was their problem. Their problem was they smorgasborded, buffeted their way through what the prophet said, and they took out the parts they liked and they ignored the other parts. And what that did to them is it would put them on a different page than what was going down in front of their eyeballs. Still see that happening today. The plan goes the way God said it was, and instead of rejoicing, we're bummed out thinking it's all out of control. And that's another reason Jesus had to go talk with them. They had all the dots on the page, didn't they? They just hadn't connected them and made a picture out of it. It just looked like a jumble. So I love that Jesus took the time and taught the Bible study. My friend Gail Irwin makes a big deal about they finally recognized Jesus when they saw him eat, because Jesus really liked to eat. I don't know. I used to think that was kind of humorous, and until I was reading through the Greek text, and I saw it in verse 31 that their eyes were opened as a deliberate act, which means that their eyes not being able to recognize him was also a deliberate act. Up until then, I thought they didn't recognize him because he was beat up. And I guess that's possible. Perhaps something as familiar as breaking the bread and blessing it and sharing it was enough to trigger. I don't know. Here's the important thing. Their hearts were burning within them the whole time Jesus was talking to them, and they still didn't connect the dots. So take hope. Those people that you think aren't paying any attention, your kids, people you think aren't paying any attention, the visitors that you brought, maybe their hearts are burning within them and you just can't see it. Maybe they can't see it. You know? Maybe the dots are all on the page for them and they just haven't connected them yet. I just love that God doesn't give up on people like that. Don't you? Maybe you're one of those people that automatically believes the truth right away. I didn't. I'm not smart enough, for one thing. And the other thing is I've been burned. And people who've been burned tend to be skeptical. And God doesn't have a problem with skeptics, as we see when we look at what he did with Thomas. So let's turn there. Over to John. This is all in one day. I've got 10 more minutes. All in one day that these things have happened. And like I said, this is a tiny portion of the people that Jesus revealed them to. I deliberately picked these out to look at. John 20, verse 19. The disciples were together with the doors locked. It says that twice. It says that about the next time, which makes you wonder, why were the doors still locked after Jesus appeared in the room? What's the point? Well, obviously the doors weren't locked to keep Jesus out. You know what? That brings up another interesting point. Why was the stone rolled away from the tomb? Well, any third grader knows, so Jesus could get out. No. He didn't need the door to get out. It wasn't so he could get out. It was so the disciples could get in. It was so they could verify the resurrection. Because we're seeing right now the doors and windows are locked and he just appears. Once again, Star Trek controls my mind. When I see this scene, it's not hard for me to believe because I believed everything about Star Trek. So it's not really hard for me to believe. But C.S. Lewis said the most profound thing about this. He said the reason Jesus could walk through the walls, through the rock, through the grave clothes, the reason he could do it was because he was solid and none of those earthly things were. And we, as often happens with me and C.S. Lewis, that just recalibrates my brain because I look at it entirely the opposite. The spiritual world is the na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. You know, that's the mystery. And the physical world, checkbook, car, house, Democrats. You know, the physical world, that's real. What does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians, it says, we fix our eyes on what is unseen because what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. So that's why how Jesus could do all of this stuff. Now, to be fair, I'm somewhat fascinated, and I know Joe is too, about quantum mechanics and quantum physics. Even Einstein thought it was spooky, so I certainly don't claim to understand it. But there's been enough research done with quantum mechanics to say that it's possible, theoretically, for there's so much space in the atomic structure for objects to pass right through each other without disrupting that. I'll just go with 1 Corinthians. I'll just go with Jesus walked right through because that was a vapor and he was finally real in the eternal sense. I will tell you this, spoken from a 9-year-old Sunday school boy perspective, do not try this at home unless you have a glorified body. Don't try walking through the wall. It doesn't matter how much faith you have. You probably won't be able to do it. I love that he comes. I've got 5 more minutes. I love that he comes and said peace, first thing, twice, repeating himself. Peace be to you. Why would they need to hear that? You ever get alone with the Lord and expect him to yell at you? I have to admit, that is still my knee-jerk expectation after all these years of understanding God's heart and God's grace. Whenever I get alone with the Lord, I always brace myself because I know what a loser I am, what a bozo I am, and I expect, you know, just a rehearsal, a litany of all of the ways that I've evolved my bozohood in, you know, the past week, and I'm always shocked when I open my heart to him in humility how he encourages me. He doesn't pretend I haven't failed. That wouldn't be helping me. He just says what he said to them. In effect, I am not mad at you. I know you failed. I told you were going to fail, remember? Don't worry. Be happy. You know, smile. Here I am. Everything's going to change. Thomas was so depressed he wasn't there. So he missed out. Well, yeah, a week later, Jesus said, oh, you know what? Let's do it with Thomas, okay? One more time from the top, can we? That I also find encouraging. Well, you know what, if I'm a bozo and I don't pay attention to Jesus and he's just going to convince me later, what's the point of paying attention? What's the point of being there? Well, see, the problem is Thomas suffered an entire week of needless hopelessness, as often happens with us when we stay away. And then you kick yourself and you think, what is wrong with me? What was I thinking? Well, thank you, Jesus, that you came and you ran through the hand on the side drill. Thank you so much for doing that. This is the Bob inquiring mind question. Did Thomas ever miss any other meetings after that? Did any of them miss any meetings after that? Because you didn't know what was going to happen. How did they treat each other in the lobby? Obviously, Jesus can hear what you're saying because he came to Thomas and he says, hey, put your finger right here. You know that thing you said back when you thought I wasn't there? I heard you. I don't know. But I love this stuff, don't you? And I love verse 29. You've trusted, clung to, relied upon me. Pistuo is the Greek word for believed. Because you've seen me. That's not the only person that's going to be happy. Thomas, you would have been happy if you'd have believed me without seeing me. And of course, that's passed on down to us, isn't it? Next week, we'll look at the Great Commission. Going into all the world as you are going. Wasn't St. Francis that said, and if necessary, use words. As you're going into all the world, preach the gospel. Good stuff, huh? I find something every time I go through this that I didn't notice before. Dig the meat out of those adverbs. Look at those descriptive phrases. Matthew's not the most detailed, so read the other accounts. Luke is great. Luke was a scientist. He was a detail guy. John had the advantage of, you know how old people do? Short-term memory loss, but long-term, they remember outfits they wore in the third grade. I mean, John, being the oldest guy to write the eyewitness account, brings out details even at the age of almost 100 that the other guys miss. So read them all. I think we've got John online, don't we? The entire book. So if I drop dead and Wayne just decides to go on an eternal honeymoon, you have enough of the word to feed yourself. Please don't stay away when you're discouraged. Push through it. I'm not mad at you if you do. If I hadn't been the pastor, I wouldn't have come. I was just in pieces. So come and let Jesus bring healing and encouragement. Let's pray. I love how you are, Lord. I love this stuff. I love the way you think, especially towards those of us that have failed. You know we love you. You just know we're not as strong as we think we are. You know we're a mess, and we need to be fixed. So thank you for what you teach us, Lord, in this passage, that your mission has not changed. Even after the defeat of Satan and the victory over death, hell, and the grave, your priority was still to comfort the ones that you love and restore them and set them on a good foundation that they can't be shaken again. And I thank you for that, Lord. I will thank you for that through all of eternity. Bless these dear ones today, Lord. I pray that those that still find it hard to connect the dots, just keep telling them. Just keep telling them, Lord. Thank you for repeating yourself. We love you. We want to get it. We want to see the whole picture so we're not out of sync with you. And teach us, Lord, to appreciate every opportunity that we have with our loved ones. Thank you for all of the rabbit trails today, Lord. I feel they were from you. So we ask the Holy Spirit would remind us because we leak. Thank you for your word, for leaving it for us to study. Bless the dear ones today that have pushed through to be here. Bless the ones that didn't. Do the Thomas thing for them, I pray. All this, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.